Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Thank you, Dan. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight and for praying for us. I've had my phone act up tonight for the first time ever. I have a wonderful Droid Razor. It wouldn't dial anything. Had to completely restart it before the program. Don't you know that's a big hint? The devil hates this subject. And we're just going to focus on Jesus, what he wants to do tonight, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom that you're going to give us tonight, the personal insight, for the understanding. Thank you for your spirit of counsel and how you're going to help us to have keen discernment to be able to see through the enemy's ploys, the traps, the baits he set, so that he can derail us, get us off purpose, off timing, get us off focus, and cause us to focus on anything but what God wants to do through us. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you always have our best interest at heart, that you are our tutor, and you have us in your ministry training school, and you work everything out for the best. Amen? Just thank you so much. I hope you'll call a friend and invite them to listen tonight, because this is a subject that affects everybody. And I know that some of you may think, oh, I've already been there and done that, and you'll be tempted to turn this off. But I can't tell you how many people, it's almost like everybody I've ever worked with, has somebody in their life that they still have hurt in their life because of an accusation that was brought against them. And even if it was totally false and outrageous, it still hurt. So I'm telling you, no matter who you are, how much you align with God's truth and purposes, there will eventually be someone who will accuse you or falsely accuse you of being your past, like you've never changed, accuse you of being weak where you're actually strong, and they don't recognize or refuse to recognize that God has transformed you. He's done a work in your life. Maybe they don't recognize your present calling, your gifting. So what do you do? What do you do when someone seems like they're sent from the devil to buffet you? Do you become defensive? Do you confront? Do you get combative? I hope not. Do you get boastful and try to prove your way through it? Do you get competitive and think, well, I'll show them, or even ace them out? I'll show them I can walk in the Spirit better than they can. Does God care when people falsely accuse you? Or does he see it as an opportunity for ministry? Is that ministry to you, ministry to them through you? Does God see it as an opportunity for you to serve, to accelerate you, and to promote you? I think many times God allows tests in our lives because he really wants to promote us, and he lets us see. He knows already. He lets us see if we're ready, if we can deal with the flack that we'll get. Amen? Nothing in life is a bed of roses. Doesn't matter whether you're called like the 98% to the marketplace ministry or the 2% to full-time ministry. Nothing's a bed of roses. And the enemy is always going to come in with a lie. He starts when you're itty-bitty, and he continues through your adult life, and he's trying to get you to believe a lie, because once we believe him, then he's got us. He wants you to believe that your mother is hopeless because of this, or your father's no good, or your pastor can't be trusted, or your spouse, well, never, or your children will never. He wants you to believe a lie about someone, and then he's got you accusing them. But let's back up. Let's see. You're supposed to be the victim tonight. So let's say maybe you're believing that God isn't really there for you, or there was a point in time when he wasn't, and you don't understand it, and or that God just is not blessing you on time, funding you, whatever you need. And you are being tempted and have been tempted and maybe have never really sorted this out to develop ungodly beliefs. And those are like bitter root expectations that whoever it is will fail you again, so just better stay away from them. Or bitter root judgments that they are a failure and you might as well just set a boundary and call it wisdom. Or you should withdraw from them rather than lay your gift on the altar and go to that one that you have ought against or they have ought against you. Or maybe you should go into self-pity, knowing that this person has totally misunderstood you, has spread lies about you, and has judged you. Or maybe you're judging them back, and now you have the critical spirit. Or maybe you just gave up. You said, I just give up. I'm going to leave that group. And now you're alone. But part of you still blames them. See, the enemy wanted to sow division into your life. Did he succeed? Did he set you up? Did he set them up to set you up? That's how it works. Let you and him fight, he says. And then he stands back while you and him fight. And he wants you to believe the worst. He wants you to be separated to some degree forever. For there to be a mortal wound that can't be healed. Or at the very least, he wants you to believe that because of the sins of your father or your sins of your mother, that you can never have the relationship with your father or your mother that God wants. It just can't be done. And if he can get you into a place where because of their sins, you choose to dishonor them, not really wanting true reconciliation. Ouch. I know it hurts. Not really wanting to be close. Not really wanting to honor them because you see honor as something that's given to those who perform well, or at least perform well now. Then again, some of you just haven't noticed that the people that used to accuse you have changed. The people that sinned against you or let you down or had strongholds in their life, maybe they've gotten free and you didn't notice. I heard a wonderful testimony from somebody recently that went back to a group they had separated from and found out they'd all grown up. I said, well, you're growing up too. But the enemy, he doesn't really care how much you know, how much the Bible you know. What he cares is what spirit you're operating out of, and he wants you to operate out of his spirit. You know, they say it's not how much you know, it's who you know. He wants you to operate out of his spirit, and he's going to set somebody up to accuse you by the power of his spirit, to lie on you, to frame you, whatever they do. And then he wants you to focus on that. Whether they're focusing on your past or calling your strengths a weakness, whatever they're doing, he wants you to focus on that. He wants that to really bother you. Well, what does God want? What does God want when he allows people to cut us down, to backstab, to go into malice and envy and jealousy and say things about us that have no bearing? What does God want? In Psalm 51, the Bible says, the sacrifices to God are a broken and contrite heart. And you say, well, it broke my heart, all right. Well, did it do it in a good way? See, the enemy wants to separate you out. Jesus wants to be one with you and wants you to and others to be one with him. You all be one. But the enemy's plan is to separate you from God, from others, and from yourself. So, yes, there is a right way to be aware of warfare with the enemy. Now, some people go to the extreme and they say, oh, don't pay any attention to the devil whatsoever. But that's not what the Bible says. And there is a right way to be humble. See, the enemy wants you to go into self-pity and say, oh, my life is ruined because of what so-and-so said or doesn't believe in me or won't spend time with me or invest in me anymore. But there's a right way to be humble before God. You're not performing to prove that you are okay or to earn that person's acceptance or even God's. But you do have a contrite heart. So how do you do that? How do you overcome accusation? Well, for one thing, I love this old phrase that says, nothing to lose, nothing to prove. And you might be saying, sister, you have no idea what I've been through. And I'm telling you, I might. You don't get to be in your 60s without going through some things. And some of it I deserved, and some of it I didn't think I did. But I know what it's like for somebody to spread lies about me, and it takes 5 years for it to be cleared up. God told me not to even try to clear it. Let him handle it. And sometimes God will have you just shut your mouth. Even when Jesus was on those six trials that were really just kangaroo courts, that, you know, there wasn't any real announcement. It wasn't publicized. It wasn't done the right way. Most of the time, he just kept his mouth shut. And there'll be times when God says, don't defend. So I would say number one is, ask God, should I defend myself? But don't get defensive. There's a difference. If you're not sure what the difference is, please go to my main website at crosswalklife.com, and in the search box at the top of the page, put in defensive. It will really help you see what defensive is, because it's not always wrong to give a defense, but it's not right to be defensive. And it's not always wrong to confront. But we don't want to live a lifestyle of being confrontational or combative or harsh with them when they were harsh with us. So what is it to be humble and to intercede for that person? Another thing you could look up is go to my other website on nowfaith.tv under Schools Ministry Archives, or in the search box and look up Gethsemane Prayers, G-E-T-H, Gethsemane Prayers, and learn how to intercede for someone that you know good and well is about to crucify you, because that's what Jesus was doing in Gethsemane. How do you intercede for someone that you know has been wanting to crucify you and now they're about to do it? Well, what do you do? When people really get on your case and it's totally illegal, totally not right, totally not true, do you become pushy and push back, impatient with them, insistent on your way, self-willed, even more independent? I don't need you. I don't need any of you. I'm leaving, taking my dolls and going home. Or you recognize the bait of Satan to cause offense, division, and separation. Are you able to hate the sin, to recognize that person is deceived, and to press into the anointing so that you can be God's skillful warrior to tear down strongholds instead of the other person? Or when they cut you down and make it look like what you have to offer is nothing, do you become competitive? I'll show them. One thing that's huge in the body of Christ today is boasting. I find myself tempted to it all the time. The devil's always there to tempt, because I hear someone say, well, my radio program has this many listeners. It's all I can do not to come back. Sometimes, or to compare and say, well, with the internet you can reach. Almost said it again. or is our real desire to be reconnected to that person heart to heart? And we're really hoping that the devil will not succeed in dividing us and separating us. Maybe they were aggressive and wanted to take over, and they're trying to take your spot in business or the family or in some kind of outreach or ministry. Are you going to become aggressive back? Or did you? Are you going to just humble yourself before the Lord, knowing that He's the one that promotes the humble? Wow. Tough stuff, isn't it? Are you outperforming someone else, trying to ace them out, feeling entitled to your spot? Or are you approachable? Something I've really noticed is the wisdom in taking the lowest seat. It doesn't come natural, that's for sure. But God has reminded me of that several times lately. Take the lower seat. Of course, if you get there early, it helps. Somebody may offer you a good seat. But are you willing to serve in someone else's vineyard? Are you willing to be there day in and day out, serving that one that's mentoring you? Do you know that's biblical? Elisha, even when he was excused from service, and Elijah said, oh, you don't need to be here for this. He said, oh, no, I won't leave you. I will be here. I want every bit of the mantle. I want, but it wasn't a bad I want. He understood God's principle, as did Apollo. He didn't shrink back, even though he was an eloquent speaker, when Priscilla and Aquila offered to teach him the gospel more clearly. Because he could speak well, but he didn't quite have the gospel right. And Apollo didn't fuss because Priscilla was part of the team. He didn't say, I can't have a woman traveling with me. Apollo was humble, even though he was a very good speaker. And David. A David didn't shrink back when his brothers and others made fun of him and accused him. He said, this is between me and God and Goliath. And he didn't try to look like somebody else, to wear Saul's armor. He didn't need a title. He didn't need to be honored for his gifting. He didn't need anybody's approval. He just did what God said, and he succeeded with the most unlikely of weapons. But see, these are people that understood what we read in the New Testament, that we're all just earthen vessels, cracked pots, if you will. There's nothing special about us but what we're filled with. And when somebody accuses you falsely, lies about you, frames you, sets you up, are you able to keep your focus on Jesus? That's the test. Or do you become religious? Well, watch me serve. I'm more serving than them, or more humble. Watch me, me, me. Or when we stand at the pulpit, even when we've been lied about, somebody had fried you for dinner last Sunday, are you able to remember that it's Jesus standing at the pulpit in front of you and just take a step back and let the focus be on Him? Are we willing to let everything we do be unto the Lord, whether that person appreciates it or not? Like Ananias and Sapphira, lie to the Holy Spirit, not good. Not good. We need to have everything we do unto the Lord, and I'm preaching to myself, you know. But we've got to be willing to let go, even when we're praised, even when we are thought of as the cream of the crop, even when we are a success. Like Philip, he had a successful revival going on, and God told him to get up. He moved him out in the desert to preach to one lost sinner. Yep, we've got to be willing to let go even when things are going great. Be willing to start over I know God has moved us every 2 or 3 years. It's been rough sometimes. I'm not fond of moving. I'm good at it, but my husband's even better at it. But are we willing to be submitted to whatever assignment, whether they love us or don't appreciate it? See, one thing we can really learn when we're falsely accused is how to tear down strongholds, because part of God's goal is that we understand it's the accuser of the brethren that's behind it. And you might say, well, it's the brethren accusing me. I understand. But we need to use our energy to focus on the real enemy, which is the devil. Let our hatred be for him, not our family. And some of you, there's still some division and separation between you and your family. And I know sometimes you can't help it. There have been issues in my family that I have no power of at this point. And there are probably issues in yours. But what we're asking God about tonight is, are there issues in your family now that you can help? Has the devil succeeded in causing division in your relationship? Whose name comes to mind right now? The Holy Spirit is so faithful to convict us. Has the devil succeeded in causing division between you and a ministry? Or you and a church? So let's recognize the setup. And let's realize that the blood of Jesus is still stronger than anything the devil can do or anything people can do. Amen? The blood of the Lamb covers us daily. If we just speak, you know, we just cover this with the blood of Jesus. If we're willing to have short accounts and have our own reactions or responses to be Spirit-led, let Jesus answer them. Let him pray those Gethsemane prayers for you when it looks like they tried to crucify you. The Bible says the word of my testimony is a way to overcome. And I need to make sure that my testimony is about how wonderful Jesus is, not how bad people were. Make sure I'm giving the right testimony. And am I wrestling against wickedness in high places? That's the demons and devils and fallen angels and not with people. Wow. It's tough. I can argue as good as anybody. And God's just really spoken to me this week, saying, be careful. Be careful. You can cut off your own blessings, your own promotion, your own healing, your own advancement, your own increase, with your own mouth. So we don't need to fear death or destruction, demotion, poverty, anything that somebody may threaten us with, anything the devil may be whispering in your ear. Because the Bible says we win by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our own testimony, and by not loving our life unto death. That means we use our energy to tear down strongholds. We don't get homicidal. We come against demons, not people. And our goal is to overcome the devil, not a person. So we don't become competitive. We don't throw gas on the conflict. We don't withdraw with a victim attitude. We don't go to bed angry. The Bible doesn't say it's bad to be angry, but it says don't stay angry. We don't want to be known for a spirit of anger. We can be victorious. We can win over this, whether that person changes or not. I get that. No matter what they choose to do or say, I can win. I can go before the throne with boldness, release Jesus to live through me, and having done all I'm required to do, to stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, recently God made me aware of somebody that has gone through what I went through this year. I believe for healing 1,000%. But I actually had to have a surgery this year, wound up on a walker. And one of my favorite people in leadership and ministry that I esteem highly wound up in the same position this year. And I thought, look at that. See, the devil wants to set us up to accuse God. He'll let us, but God will let us be in seemingly impossible situations so that he can liberate us from any hidden anger, any rift with God we've got, any intimidation, and to teach us to trust his grace and how to really, really, really trust him through it. Do I know what I'm talking about? I think so. In any situation, God and the angels are more powerful than the accusations that will be brought against you. Have I experienced that? Yes. I don't want to say much because I don't want to set a bad example of enjoying talking about what somebody else did. You know, we're not supposed to enjoy it and be a martyr. But I will say this much in general. Someone actually paid one time for me to go to a training for a long period of time, months, with a premeditated thought that they would frame me and lie about me while I was gone. And it worked on some people for a while. But you know, God handles it. God handles it for us. He brings the truth out. I didn't have to. Amen? Can we trust God with that? Can you believe tonight, no matter how your family may have accused you, or not believed in you, or not invested in you, for all your family to be liberated and set free? Or is part of it that we've gone into despair and we just don't really believe they're even going to ever change, that God can transform them? They're impossible. Can we beat the blood over their doorpost and intercede for them like a Passover for our family? Wow. Can we believe, like Chronicles says, that if we'll humble ourselves and pray, that even our nation, our leaders will be changed? Now, once again, I say it's not wrong to discuss politics and to state the facts and to take a side and to promote your candidate. I don't use this program to promote one. But are we willing to humble ourselves and pray? Are we believing that we'll really be sheltered by the blood of Jesus? You might say, well, I've tried that. I cover everything with the blood of Jesus. They still accuse me falsely. It still wreaks havoc in my life. I'm not saying that it never happens. It happened to Jesus. But can we believe that God turns everything out for good? Can we believe that he has us in his ministry training school and that he's most concerned about conforming us to his image while we're focusing on hoping they'll be conformed to his image? Can we believe that we will learn how to confront the enemy, how to break the curses that have been spoken over us, how to discern setups and not fall for them? Can we believe that for every bad thing that's come our way, God's going to repay with many more times good? I was just thinking recently how we just laid everything down again, what we thought we were going to do and where we thought we were going to do it, and God had us move to a brand new place that we had never been before, never thought that we were going to go. And we started believing God for new connections. Not disconnections in the old place, but new connections for favor. And if we would honor those in this place, that we would reap that. And just this week, someone said to my husband, I want to get together with you. And this is a person that I believe is a father in spirit. And I thought, awesome. Awesome. Relationships are great. You might say, oh, you're on the honeymoon. Well, see, that's just the thing. You can't go through life expecting that no one's ever going to misunderstand you or falsely accuse you. What makes the difference is your response. Are you going to believe that Jesus shed his blood so not only so that he can live through you with a spirit-filled life, but even through them? Are you going to want to make amends? See, When Jesus shed his blood, that bought us the atonement, and that means making amends, reconciling, bringing harmony. And some people may not ever come back into relationship with us, but our responsibility is to want to be a minister of reconciliation. Amen. So, hopefully, if we fell into accusing them ourselves, that we'll learn that our testimony is supposed to be about Jesus, not against people. We're to tear down strongholds, not people. I just want to pray for you right now, and myself, that whatever it is that's bigger to us than reconciling, than having that oneness that Jesus prayed for in John 17, whatever it is that's bigger to us than all that, that we would die to it. It's like a new diet. Die to it. Die to whatever you've been feeding on, nursing your wounds with, that's bigger and reconciliation. You say, well, what about boundaries? Well, let me say something about boundaries. I want to pray that you'll have a keen understanding about boundaries. Sometimes, if a person will be of actual physical harm to us or something like that, if they're truly, truly that abusive, we do need to set boundaries. But, you know, in your heart, you can still pray Gethsemane prayers and intercede for them. And that's what it comes down to. What is our motivation? What is the end outcome that we would really like to see? Do we want these broken relationships to be healed? Do we want that person to be healed? Will we rejoice if they're promoted or even promoted higher than us? Do we want them to operate in real clarity and certainty and confirmation, or do we want their life to be confused like they sowed confusion into ours? It's important to build these relationships and to hang in there. I've had problems in the past, like you probably have. I'll try to be real general, but, you know, Lou and I visited one church for several months, thought we were even going to move there. We were just as excited as anybody about that church. We've never really tried to start a church of our own. We just wanted to go someplace where we could have fellowship and be of like mind and be fed. And one day, all I was doing was giving a visitor my phone number. Thought I was doing what everybody would do, just be friendly. And the poor pastor went into this jealous fit right in front of the visitor and basically threw us out of the church right then and there. It was so obvious. It wasn't a misunderstanding. It was so obvious that that's what they wanted that I waited about 10 days, and I called their oversight because I was already scheduled to do a seminar for them and wondered if that would be still on. And I said, I guess I better call you and ask you if we're still on for this seminar. And the oversight volunteered immediately, saying, oh, yes, and I have never seen these people act like that before. I don't know what's come over them. So I didn't have to talk about them. See, God was taking care of it. He's the Father, we're all the children. It's important to build relationships. When I was in ministry training school, I had a real blessing in that I had a lot of free time because I had sold a house and I didn't have to, you know, work full-time and go to school full-time. But I had time and I used it to build relationships with four ministries. I had time to build relationships with the Hammonds at Christian International. And it takes time. And we have to be willing to give of ourselves. I really believe in volunteering in other people's ministries. And that's why I volunteered for four ministries. I learned a lot. But the biggest thing is I built relationships. We took them out on our boat. When I went on a cruise, Pastor Jane, her Apostle Jane Hammond, said, oh, you've got to wear my sequin dress. And it was reciprocal. It has lasted to this day. And yes, someone did try to come in between and did tell lies, did try to frame me. It took a while for it to be cleared up with some of the people there. But I want you to know, as far as I know, to this day, at least within the last two or three years, when Apostle Jane Hammond has seen me at a meeting, she has motioned to me specifically to come up to her and has asked how I'm doing. That means a lot to me. Even though we lived 1,000 miles apart, the relationship was built. And it is important to do that, guys. And you can't wait for perfect leaders to come along, because there aren't any. There aren't any. Every leader I've been under, if you're under them long enough, I knew their skeletons and they knew mine. It's not about that, is it? It's about, are you going to let the devil succeed in separating you from the bunch and causing you to be lonely? And he can single you out so that he can attack you. Or are you going to let God choose your oversight, your umbrella of protection, your covering, or whatever you call them? But see, some of you have been out from under protection, and you thought you understood the principle, and now maybe you're hearing that you didn't. There's a chain of authority that you couldn't accept because it was imperfect. Or maybe you really didn't put the time and energy into building the relationship. Or maybe you did, and it fell apart anyway. But tonight, let's just humble ourselves and say, God, what do you want me to pray? I can pray about my side of it. I can pray about what I think their side is. But Lord Jesus, what are you praying for me? What do you want to do in my heart? And what do you want to do in their heart? Some of you have family members that are in captivity. They don't even know it. They might think they're the righteous ones, and you're the nut. But we can pray that they'll be set free and for reconciliation, whether we ever totally agree or not. The main thing is we've got to get over the fear of false accusation and to know that it'll happen now and then, and to go forth in faith that Jesus is praying that we'll all be one with him and one with each other, no matter what comes down. And that we'll learn not to let the devil steal from us, not to let him steal our connection, our family members, our chain of authority, not let him steal our opportunities, our future, by getting us stuck in resentment and anger or hurt or victimization. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're opening our eyes to see that no matter how bad it was, it's not worth being disconnected from you, Jesus. It's not worth being disconnected from our future and our calling. And Lord, for everybody out there that has a pattern of anger, going to bed angry, getting angry too quickly, being a hothead, reacting before they allow Jesus to respond through them, whatever it is, taking these false accusations to heart, I want you to just picture something childlike. When somebody throws a false accusation at you, it's like rejection. It's like a ball. When somebody throws a ball at you, you do not have to catch it. You have that power. You do not have to catch it. Somebody else may catch it. They may believe it for a little while. But if you are interceding for that person with these Gethsemane prayers, even though you know they're trying to crucify you, God will take care of it. Sometimes it takes longer than others. But the main thing is this. Are you right with God the whole time? See, even in my worst case, where it probably took about 5 years for a few people, not most people, but a few people, to see through the lies, I accepted my responsibility that I was to be right with God no matter what. And I believe God has blessed that. He's blessed that. Because my goal isn't to be popular, world known, to be rich, have my name in light. My goal is to be right with God. And I believe that a lot of people are going to be surprised in heaven, because they're going to think it's the big names necessarily that get the crowns. I don't think so. I think God knows if our chief desire is to be one with him and one with others and one with ourselves, or whether we're going to let the devil separate us from God and from others and from ourselves. And if we live in that separation and division, we've lost the fun of it already. Well, I hope you will share this with somebody, because I don't think there's anybody on the planet, even Jesus himself had to deal with false accusation. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that doesn't need a reminder that it's not worth it. It's just not worth it being angry at people all the time and letting the devil win. And it's a setup. We've got to learn to see through these setups, to know that the devil does it in a similar way most of the time. And we have just got to learn that we're just plain melamine cups anyway, with no decoration, no painted flowers, no gold trim, that all that matters is whether we're still releasing Jesus through us or not. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter what people think. My significance is not based on people's opinions. My significance is based on God's truth and what he says about me. And I have to choose to believe that regardless. That's my responsibility. Amen. Amen. Well, I know that's a sober one. And I'm praying for your healing. I'm praying for your healing. Some of you are conflicted with yourself because part of you wants to let it go and the other part says, I can't. And I just pray tonight for that oneness for you, that you'll be able to be one with Jesus and let him let it go through you. Confession is agreeing with God about your sin. And forgiveness is letting go of any supposed rights that you have to hold that person accountable to you. Ouch. Oh, Lord says, I have to add another thing. When Joseph forgave his brothers, he said, don't even hold it against yourselves. Wow. So any desire we've got that they will burn in hell, that they will get what's coming to them for retribution, even to demand restitution, we've got to let it go. But they should have to understand how badly they hurt me. I understand how you feel. I've been there a million times, but it's more funner to let it go and let God handle it. And let's go on our way, focused on Jesus, what the atonement really means, that we're ministers of reconciliation. We're not going to play this game. We're not going to go to bed angry every night and let that person steal our life away. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm hoping if you have a comment or question about the teaching that you'll call in. The number is 917-388-4683. What you do is you push that number 1. I'm hoping that several of you will, because I cannot talk for 2 hours straight, in spite of what you think. I've had such a problem with the music that I tried to upload that I'm hoping one of you will just push that number 1 and either share a comment or a question or what you would like prayer for tonight. Amen. Had to take a swig anyway. Okay, we've got a lot of callers. We've really been blessed with callers lately. Now what we need is participants. Even better, I'm going to have to put on some of this music that sounded terrible last time. Which would you rather? All right. Okay. Thank you, Lord. We're going to try some music. And just come with me and worship. And let's know that our anointing in Christ is so precious, and we do not want any trick of the devil, any setup of the devil to steal it from us. Amen. Here I am. I know it was a tough subject tonight. I didn't mean to do you in. We only have one brave caller that wants to actually speak. But I want to encourage you to share, because people need to know they're not alone. They need to know that other people have gone through stuff too, that it's been tough. You know, it's tough to love people when they aren't loving to you. And it's also good, though, to hear victory stories. You know, how God blesses you when you stay right with Him. I'd like to take a caller now. What I'm going to do is call out the area code and then ask you for your name, first name, and where you live. And you can either share a comment or a question, give a testimony, or ask for prayer. So I'd like to welcome area code 310 to the program.
Patricia in Los Angeles.
Welcome, Patricia.
And one thing that you said when you were talking about that particularly struck me, and that is on setting boundaries. Because I think if one is going to, well, maybe not overreact, but not stay centered with that peace and God, you know, sometimes one can maybe feel that they have to give a word or discuss something, or, you know, they may start out feeling, at least I've done this sometime, oh, well, it's this reason that's making them behave that way, and you know, keep doing. And then if they don't change, and you're saying your prayers and you're doing, you can become, lose that peace. And sometimes just knowing when to acknowledge what somebody said, if they're saying it to you, and then walking away, is important. Or sometimes just knowing how much to say if somebody lets you know that somebody is saying something negative, not to be too passive, and then let it go is important. And I think God gives us the grace to do that if we don't allow ourselves to get off center when we hear
very good point. I didn't go that much into that this time, and I'm so glad you did, because there are appropriate responses, but we just have to be spirit-led. Like God has asked me to ask someone, what did you mean by that? Because maybe I'm totally taking it wrong in light of other experiences I've had with them or with other people. You know, and I think they mean it one way and they don't. It gives them a chance to say it again, so if they meant it even worse than I heard it, at least we all know what we're talking about. And we can go to the person, like the Bible says, if you know somebody's got odd against you, somebody tells you they're talking about you, you can go to them. And it is so helpful to me if we start sentences off with I rather than you, like, okay, you've been lying on me again, isn't going to go over very well. But if we say, have I done something to offend you? Is there something we need to talk about? Then that lets them know that I realize I might have some responsibility here. But as far as boundaries, Patricia, they can be just the right thing or the wrong. Because, you know, sometimes boundaries are very important to have. And other times people say they have set a boundary, but they're really giving somebody the cold shoulder. You know, they're calling it wisdom, but they are into separation and division as much as anybody else. They're just calling it a boundary. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Well, anything else? That was really good.
Well, I think another thing that I'm not so proud of, but that has been an issue, is sometimes I know someone has really just done something, and maybe I didn't speak up, maybe I had some responsibility, but yet they did things that really weren't nice, took advantage, or weren't friends, and I know we're supposed to pray for our enemies, for those that accuse us, and sometimes that is difficult. So I felt that sometimes it's all right just to give it to God and say, I don't want to dwell on it too much. So I'll let you do a work. And sometimes I've just said, okay, God, well, I just hope they really know you and have your grace, because if they did, they wouldn't act like that. And I'm just not in a place where I could say, I hope they would have blessing, and after all, that's the best blessing, is to know you and to walk with you. And I eventually make peace with myself. But that's the hardest sometimes, is that real forgiveness, to where, and trust in God, it happened, you really forgive, and you bear no ill will, and eventually it's as if it didn't happen, because it doesn't impact you.
That's the thing. That's why I like that example of, if somebody throws you a ball of lies or rejection or accusations or whatever, you don't have to catch it. And that is so important, because what the devil wants is to start a fight between you and them, or a tug of war, or a competition, or something. And if we refuse to play, then what's he going to do? You know, and it makes it
so much easier
if we refuse to take up that tug of war or that competition, and we refuse to jump in there and just have nothing to lose, nothing to prove. Just so amazing. And it's hard. It's hard because our flesh screams. Mine still does, anyway. My flesh still screams. And I go, okay, here you go to the cross again. I'm not dead yet.
Because sometimes there are consequences which are not pleasant to those actions. That it isn't just, you know, how you feel about it. But, you know, there can be some ripple effects beyond ego.
Oh, my.
And it is hard.
Do I agree, ever? I mean, you know, when someone told lies about me and it took 5 years before it was cleared up, it was a test. But there were tests of many things. You know, God, I was saying, but God, you know, I built all those relationships and, you know, and he knew what I was thinking. I didn't want to say it, but I was thinking, they are my ticket to the nation. And he said, no, I'm your everything. You don't have to have all those references and recommendations. You've been idolizing them. And so in my case, God let somebody come against me to teach me to depend on him and him alone. Not to be independent, like I don't need people, but not to idolize them, because I had gone too far.
Yes. It's so easy when we get attacked and the emotions are so deep. And I think Satan knows where to attack, where those weak points are. So much easier to let those feelings flood in rather than Word of God or peace.
Well, this is a hard word. We certainly don't want to name any names on the air. And I'm not referring to anyone that I've named already. But God will let all of us have very imperfect leaders sooner or later. And it's not that we can't discern how they're imperfect. Of course we can intercede. We can still be burden bearers, but we can stay where we're planted until we're told by God to move on. We don't have to be blind to how imperfect they are. But that's what love is about. Are we going to love and pray for imperfect people that don't always understand us and appreciate us until God releases us to move on to somewhere else? And I have just worked with so many people who can point to an exact time when they became extremely disappointed in leadership and things went downhill from there, you know. But we can repent. It's never too late.
Well, it's a wonderful teaching, because we all go through this. Everybody has this at some time, and the emotions are strong. So I appreciate you bringing it up so we can deal with it in ways that are not separating ourselves from God. Either when we're dealing with it, or once we've dealt with it in being having self-judgment about having done it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your points. There are so many sides to this, and I can just hear listeners saying, yes, but. But to me, the bottom line is Satan is out to set you up to sin. Did he succeed? No matter how much that other person sinned, maybe they were abusive, maybe they tortured you. I mean, maybe it was beyond belief. But Jesus died and shed his blood so that we can be free. We will not be captive with a spirit of anger and resentment and hatred and bitterness, offense, or whatever to that person for the rest of our life. We can be free. Amen.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you. And then I guess I would, if it's appropriate at this time, just ask for prayer.
Okay. Thank you, Guru. Father, I just thank you for Patricia. I thank you for her insight. I thank you for the soft-spoken wisdom that you are through her, that you have put her in a place of influence, and you have caused her and will cause her to rub shoulders with many leaders, and that she, in her own way, the unique personality you've given her, is able to help people to see, well, really just to discern themselves as well as others, as well as your plan. And I thank you, Lord, for the abilities that you've given her. And, Patricia, I just hear that sometimes it's a temptation to look at your inability. But, Lord, I'm just thanking you right now for the abilities that you have in her to influence others, to point people to you, to cause healing, to bring about transformation in places where other people don't even go or don't, you know, think they have enough in common with it. But you have given her these spheres of influence. You've given her the upper and outers. You've given her the ability to actually have, even as quiet as it is, a leadership role with leaders. And I thank you, Lord. And I thank you that while she may be aware, thinking, oh, I'm nothing without God, and it's true, that we thank you, Lord, that with you we have everything. You are everything in us. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You have all the strength, and you're everywhere at once. And we thank you, Lord, for satisfaction and contentment. I just thank you that even as you release Patricia from some of the things that she has felt has held her back, and that you've been just blessed by how she's been submitting to you more and more, that she will be one that you can trust with spiritual power and authority. It won't go to her head. And I just see there's one area of your life, Patricia, that sometimes you become fearful. You become fearful of loss. You become fearful of, mainly loss. And the Lord says, I just want to heal that area even tonight, that you won't be held captive by fear of loss or scarcity, that you will know it has always been I, Father God, who has put a roof over your head and food in your mouth and clothes on your back, and it will always be me. And I just break the power over you right now of that fear of loss, that no matter what happens in or around your area or in the nation or anywhere else, that your identity will not be based on anything but me, the Lord says. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. And I will get off and give someone else a chance to ask questions. And thank you.
Thank you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Oh, I love it when you all bring out the points, because you just can't, even though I talk for a long time, like 40, 45 minutes, you still... Oh, I certainly don't think of everything. We all just have a part. And we just praise you, Jesus. We just praise you how we need each other and how we're there for each other and how great it is to be connected. We thank you, Lord, that you are building relationships and that we can focus on how the relationship can be built and not how the enemy is destroying them. And even if we let him come between us and cause division and separation with others, that we can repent. And we can say, God, show me how you can cause us to be one again. Amen. All right. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie. What's up?
Hi. Well, I prayed for a lady yesterday in church, and she Facebooked me and told me that the Lord healed her back and that she had very little pain today. So that was a praise for it tonight.
Amen.
And
I've been down to very little pain too. As some of you don't
praise
know,
God.
But pray for your health too, Valerie. How are you doing?
Oh, great. I had some more prayer on Saturday, and the Lord is still healing more. I tell you, you know, what you were talking about tonight with, you know, false accusations and accusers and just letting go of things, you know, continuing to forgive. That's something that the Lord continues to walk me through is forgiving, and you always have the test. and you know, the Lord, you know, gives you the tests, and, you know, you have to, you know, walk through it and pass the test, you know, and so many situations, family, leadership, you know, church leadership. And I was thinking, you know, you said that, you know, we have to really focus on the Lord, you know, no matter what the circumstance or, you know, the situation that we go through. And I had talked to a leader because of just so much that was happening in my church. And as you said, that oftentimes you can see a lot of the imperfections in leadership. And there was so much going on, and I was just really discouraged. And this man of God told me, he said, Valerie, he said, you need to, there's always going to be conflict, he said, in leadership and in church. And he says, you know, you've got to just love Jesus, you know, just love Jesus. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, wow, you know, all the stuff that's going on and all you're saying is just, you know, focus on Jesus. And I was angry with what he had said. But but it's true, you know. And I was just thinking, yeah, we have to focus on the Lord and spend that time in His presence and allowing Him to minister to us deeply.
Those of us that are prophetic, we see things more black and white too. You know.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm really bad about that. I'm not talking about you as much as I'm pointing a finger at me. Because, you know, if God shows me that somebody's cheating on their spouse, I'm thinking off with their head. I'm not thinking, give him any prayers. You know?
Right.
I'm thinking, get that dude out of here. He's a wolf.
Right.
You know, expose him. And God gives people a long space of time to repent. And thank God for the people that have the pastoral anointing and the ones that are at the pastor's office call. They're able to be patient. Because, see, at one time, I was the woman at the well, and nobody decapitated me and put me in prison. You know, I had time. And I thought I was seeking God. I was going to a Bible study about Christ in you. I went to it for 10 years. But people were just patient with me, and I kept making the same mistakes over and over. And but I just kind of stepped on everybody's last nerve tonight, saying, well, what if the mistakes they make includes their lying about you? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Hard. It's hard.
Yes, it is. It
another
really
thing
is.
I can relate to is, I'll just rub it in one more time, is when people describe you as if you're still your past. You haven't changed. That's hard.
Uh-huh. Yes. And I think, you know, too, just, you know, when you are, you know, learning, you know, and you're like, well, you know, I'm seeing some things, and you go and you speak to a leader, you know, about what you're seeing or what you're sensing. I've had that happen as well. And, you know, the leader kind of said, well, you know, we think that we're on the right track. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, you know, I, you know, thought this is what you were showing me, you know, and you spoke it to me. And so, you know, I just got to step back. And I sometimes I feel like, well, I can't really share. I'm not going to really say anything because it's just not taken, you know, as, you know, the Lord might have said something to Valerie, you know, about the situation, the circumstance.
That's another hazard of being prophetic, if you see things way ahead of time.
Yeah.
And maybe God isn't completing that work in this season. You're already seeing it. So, you know, you just have to maybe thank God that what he's going to do.
Yeah.
But another thing he does is he teaches us about the voice of, for instance, the Jezebel spirit.
Yes.
Are we going to be trusted if God shows us the contents of someone's heart?
Uh-huh.
Can he trust us to handle that rightly?
Right.
And not to get in team with a Jezebel spirit that's going to be saying little innuendos against them, and isn't it too bad they don't see what we see stuff.
Uh-huh.
We need to,
yeah,
through this, we learn to be good team players. And on my website at crosswalklife.com, there's an excellent test you can take. If you put in the search box, are you a team player? You can take this test and see if when the leadership disappoints you, how do you do? Maybe
uh-huh.
you think you're doing all right as you listen to me, but if you take this test, you may find out, well, I'm not doing as good as a team player as I thought. I need to shape up. You know?
Right.
Or an Absalom spirit.
Mm-hmm.
God will let temptations come that would tempt us to be an Absalom and turn
mm-hmm.
against the king.
Uh-huh.
Or do some little insurrection thing.
Right.
And God will let things happen to show us if there's any Absalom in us. It's
yes. Yes. He will. I remember, boy, I had come into a fence because my husband and I weren't told about a leadership meeting, conference, and the former pastor's wife had said, well, you know, Valerie, you know, did anybody tell you about it? And I said, no, because I was like, well, was somebody supposed to tell us? And I came into a fence, and I heard a message on basically going and asking forgiveness. And so the Lord told me to go in to ask forgiveness of my pastor and the elder. And I was obedient to the Lord, and I did it. And the Lord spoke to me that night, and he said that the enemy was the one that was behind a fence, that it's not people, and that the enemy wanted me out of what God mm-hmm. wanted me to do.
Good point.
And I said, wow.
They weren't deliberately leaving you out for whatever reason. I'm sure the enemy had quite a few reasons, but
right.
And even if they did, it's still our part to learn how to forgive people for, I was going to say being stupid. Maybe that wasn't too Christian. forgive them anyway. You know, 'cause
right.
We've made the same mistakes. We've forgotten people too.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Now, I just hear that God's already promoted you in some ways, and maybe you haven't seen it as a promotion, but you've wanted me to be able to trust you with more, the Lord says, and you've wanted to have my heart, and you've wanted to be an expression of me to others, and you've wanted to see greater things happen, and you've wanted to see miracles. And the Lord says, you know what that is? I have let some very hard cases come in your path.
Mm-hmm.
Let you know deeply, intimately, some very hard cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard for me, but it looks hard to you. And it's
mm-hmm.
increasing your faith muscles. It's increasing your wisdom. It's increasing your ability to discern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's increasing your ability to hear my voice. And it's increasing your hope. And it's increasing your faith to believe
right.
that no case is too hard for me. No pit is so deep that I'm not deeper still. and it's helping you to know how to be an expression of my emotions and not your own. It's just helping you in some ways, but it's a level of promotion, really, when I let these hardships come into your life, and when it takes a while, because then that's one more way that I'm answering your prayers to make you a woman of great faith.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I've gotten the word before that the Lord has prepared me for the hard cases.
Oh, confirmation.
Yes. I said, oh, boy.
Well, it's nice when he this sovereign, supernatural, instant work. And I wish he would do that on me.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just have to find and hear the lies, and we have to repent, and maybe... You know, in some of the hard cases, they need to know, you know, the lies they're believing in.
Yes.
And they will.
Yes, amen. They will.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise
yes.
God.
Yes.
I appreciate your prayers and support. Thank you for calling.
I appreciate you, Prophet Carlotta. Thank you so much for your ministry.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I just thank you for these intercessors, these watchman intercessors, watchman prophet intercessors like Valerie. I just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for her burden bearing and her willingness to pray, willingness to not only be a burden bearer for us, but for leaders that, like she said, she had one she wasn't sure if they were hearing God or not, but we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know where you've got us and why. And there's some, I always say there's something in it for all of us. You don't make any mistakes. Area code 646, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. Good evening. It's Hazel.
Hazel?
Yes.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you? I really appreciate the teachings that you had tonight. And one of the things that stood out to me was, I guess the barrier that stood out to me, just like the other woman that spoke earlier tonight. I guess my question is it okay to keep a comfortable distance from a family member that you know if you get too close, it will cause strife between you two, but to keep a comfortable level of, you know, peaceful distance? Is there such a thing?
Good question. Do they want distance? Or is it you wanting distance?
I think it's me wanting the distance.
Well, then that's good in a way, because you can ask God, you know, is that you, God, suggesting this distance? Is it obedience to you? Or is it my flesh wanting the distance because I am fearful or I don't want to have to love them or, you know, whatever. And so I would just ask God, is that you, God, suggesting distance here? Space can be a good thing. You know, I'm aware of these things. I was in mental health for 25 years off and on. Giving people space can be a good thing, but it all comes down to motivation, I think. Is the motivation of my heart to love that person and to reconcile when and if possible?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I really kind of blocking that risk reconciliation somehow? And I'm very aware that some people are very abusive and we do need boundaries. On the other hand, do I still love them in my heart? And am I actually interceding for them, you know, and hoping that we will be able to reconcile in love one day? Does that help at all?
Yes, it does. I do love her. It's not that we have any arguments or anything going on, but it's just that I know her interests and her what we have in common is very limited, and sometimes I find myself getting a little irritated if I'm up under her too closely, so I kind of keep that comfortable distance.
Well,
so
people probably said the same thing about me. You know, I'm aware of it. I have wanted at times to be closer to people that didn't want to be close to me. And you know, all we can do is be open to the Holy Spirit saying, are there changes I need to make on my end? It reminds me of the verse that somebody else brought up a few minutes ago. It's actually written both ways. It says, if they have aught against you, put your gift down. And you know, before worshiping God, you know, go and ask them if there's something you can do to reconcile with them, basically. Or if you have aught against them, put your gift down before you stand there worshiping God. You know, go to that person. And so if God says do something at this time, then you do it. And if he says just give them space, but listen up because I'm going to be telling you how to show them love. And, you know, I will say this for some people that are in very strange situations, whether it's marriages, families, things where this would apply, you know, not necessarily like an employer or something, but you can do tiny little things to show that person you're thinking about them without, like you say, having to be up under them all the time. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, you can give them a tiny wildflower or put it in the toilet water if you live together or, you know, put a smiley face in the sugar bowl. I mean, there are tiny little things that you can do. My favorite is I like to thank people and acknowledge, tell them you did a good job. But I, you know, I'm not perfect at that either. So we can just ask God, what is our part? And not get the idea that it's got to be big and, you know, sticky and difficult. You know, what do you want me to do to show them a little appreciation or a little love? Because if a long time together is not a good thing, there's many other ways to show them.
That's true. Could you also pray for me?
Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
Pardon me? Oh, from New York.
I thought so. I saw that 646. Okay. Father, I just thank you for Hazel. I thank you for her openness and that she's willing. She's humble to admit that it's difficult, and she realizes that some boundaries might be needed. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are the creator and that you're showing us all creative ways to be your love to others. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are working in her a new understanding of what redemption is and salvation, and that you're going to redeem all the experiences that she's had. And I thank you, Lord, that you're healing the hurt and rubbing that healing balm in the wounds, and that she's going to be that person that is going to be able to love the unlovely and to believe in the unlikely. And the Lord says, I'm even bringing people along that will believe in you in ways that astound you and that will want to invest in you and will believe in your calling and have a shared vision with you. And it's going to, like, father and mother you in a new way so that you can see how it's done. The Lord says, would never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do for you and through you. And the Lord says, as I heal you with people that believe in you, you're going to become aware that there are so many ways to show somebody some appreciation, to be my love to them, and that you will become more and more creative as you allow me to do it through you. And not to worry, daughter, I have the power, I have the creativity, I have the love that never fails, and I'll do it through you. Amen?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus.
It's always amazing. Always amazing, you know, when God calls upon us to teach something, you're like, okay, God, now you just had me tell them you're going to do it through me, through them, you know, I know you're going to do it through me too, because none of us can do these things on our own. We are just belly flops when we try to do it in our own strength. And yes, it's only Jesus' love that never fails. My love, yep, it'll fail. It'll fail. My patience will run out. But we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside us, and we just praise you, Jesus, that you didn't just command us, get out there and do it and crack a whip over us, that you want to live your life through us. Amen. Amen. Area code 973, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Elaine.
Elaine, where are you from?
Oh, in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Good, good. I wanted to share about the accusations, dealing with accusations and some of the things that God had, that I had gone through. With strife in the office, you know, with people, you know.
Just don't mention
everybody.
Any name.
Oh, no, I won't.
Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
And, and so whenever I walked into that situation, I saw it, and I thought, okay, I don't want to be a part of this. So I tried to stay out of all that because everybody was backbiting each other. And so I would stay in my office most of the time, just doing my work. But there was a receptionist that would come back to my office trying to get me pulled into all the things that were going on. And there were some files in my office that she would come and get some things out of my files. But so I would try and not say anything. I would just, you know, I would just say, well, you know, we need to pray for them or whatever. And but at the same time, God was teaching me deliverance. And it just so happened on the job training. One day I just decided, okay, I would always hear her heels coming down the hallway. And so I would. So that's it. I'm trying to make sure I don't mention any names or anything. So I always knew those were her heels. And so what I did was, I want to preference this is that, you know, that whenever you bind, you know, in the spirit, you're not binding the person, you're binding the demonic that is operating, trying to operate through them. So I was always very careful, and I would, you know, basically say in the name of Jesus, I bind this any evil spirit that's operating on her, and I forbid you from coming in my office. And her heels would just stop coming down the hallway. It'd be like she'd be stuck. And the Lord was showing me the power of my words, and you know, in the natural, what was going on in the spiritual. Yeah. And I was so shocked. You know, because at first you're like, oh, okay, well, let me try this. And she actually would stop. You'd hear those heels stop. And then she'd turn around and go back down the hallway back to her receptionist desk. And then you'd hear her a couple minutes later, she'd try and come down again. And because I was at the end of the hallway, and I'd say, no, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. You will not come in this office any evil spirits. She can come in. You stay outside. But they would not. She could not get in as long as I did that. And because that was the only way I could get any work done, because there was so much stuff going on around, and I was like, I can't concentrate and get deadlines and everything with all this other stuff going on. And but sometimes I would be so busy working, I wouldn't hear her, and then she'd just be there in my office. But so many times she'd get all the way down, and my office door would be open. She would get there, and right in front of my door, she'd be walking back and forth, but could not cross that threshold.
All right.
And,
thank you, Lord.
Let me
move on. This story is getting to be a little bit long.
Go ahead.
I thank you, Lord, that you have called Hazel, and you have given her your word, and you've given her strategies. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that she is one that hear your voice, that it may not be the same thing every time. You know, the next time it might be dance before you, another time it might be sing and worship, another time be loosing and binding again. But we thank you, Lord, that whatever your strategy is, it works. I thank you, Lord, that she's called to tear down strongholds, to stand in the gap, to put up walls of fire and hedges of protection, and that as a watchman, that she hears your strategy. She sees the ploy of the enemy, and she knows what to do. And I thank you, Lord, for words of knowledge and words of wisdom for her. I thank you, Lord, that even as we join together with her in the prayer of agreement to loose the sword of the Spirit on those evil sources, the demonic sources of that activity, that the person will be free to know that the power of Jesus Christ is stronger, that the love of Jesus Christ is what they're really after, that they will not be seeking that demonic power any longer, that they will want to be free. They'll be delivered from their captivity, delivered from being a medium for the enemy, and that she will see the victory that she's praying for. And I thank you, Lord, that she knows that she's set here to set the captives free, and as you do it through her, that she'll experience great victory. And I just pray that hedge of protection and wall of fire around her, that as she does that, that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There are many around you, Elaine, that are going to be set free. But there are also many believers who have been in compromise, who have been dabbling in things with mediums or sorcery or horoscopes or Harry Potter or Twilight or palm reading or whatever, Halloween, and they are going to begin to understand that this battle is real, that we have to take sides. We can't be double dipping. We can't be pretending to celebrate one thing and saying we love Jesus. And I just thank you that as you demonstrate how to, I thank you, Lord, as she demonstrates how to tear down strongholds effectively, that a lot of lukewarm Christians will also rise up, become hot, hot, hot for Jesus, no longer compromise, and that they will understand what warfare really is. They won't be focused on the devil, and yet they will partner with you, Jesus. You said you came to destroy the works of the devil, to tear down strongholds, set the captives free, to open blind eyes and to unstop ears so that all may know you. And we thank you, Lord, for Elaine's part in that. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a good night, Elaine.
You too.
Good for you. Bless you, bless you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to see if I can squeeze in a couple more here. We just thank you, Lord, that you don't just crack a whip over us and tell us, go do it. You know, that you want to tear down these strongholds through us. And when we see someone, you know, falsely accusing, lying, tearing down the body, attacking the body, and all of this, that we can turn to you for that strategy, we won't become helpless or hopeless or victims. That we will turn to you. Area code 818, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm Alina from California.
Oh.
I would like some prayer, because like some accusations and of some rejection that I'm experiencing.
Have you called in before, Alina?
Yes.
I thought so. Lord, I just thank you for Alina, and I thank you for her tender, tender heart. And I thank you for all that you've brought her through already. I thank you for her hope in you, for her prayers. And the Lord says, Alina, I am always there for you, always. Always there for you. And I have been expanding your heart because you've wanted to be an expression of my heart, and I've been expanding your heart. And I am working in lives. I am. And I'm increasing your trust in me that I will work. I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for that. And the Lord says, there were many that misunderstood me and accused me and completely distorted why I came and who I am and why anyone would need a Savior. And the Lord says, but we have victory. And I just want to break off of you any spirit of victim that would want to jump on you when people lie about you and don't appreciate you and misunderstand you, I just want to break off any victim spirit, that there, it will not become who you are, but you will know that you're called to be an overcomer, and that means that you are able to confront the enemy. You are able, because Christ in you has all power on heaven and earth, that you are able to walk in victory no matter what. And the Lord says, I've given you this gift of mercy, and yet I'm giving you the balance of strength, that every demon has to bow to the name of Jesus, and I'm giving you the strength and the ability and the words of knowledge and wisdom so that you'll know how to draw those lines in the Spirit. You'll know how to draw the line that no demon can cross. And the Lord says it's difficult sometimes, but I'm giving you that ability to know who you are in me, just to know who you are in me regardless, and it will faze you less and less what others say. And as you rise up in that strength, there'll actually be some people that respect you more. But regardless of that, the Lord says, I've called you for such a time as this, and even though the training has been difficult at times, I'm calling you out. You're my chosen one. Many are called, but few are chosen, and I have chosen you, and you've chosen me back. And the Lord says, I bless you, bless you, bless you. Just keep your eyes focused on me. Don't let your future be determined by what other people choose to do and say. Say, my future is written by God and God alone. Amen.
Amen.
Can you relate to that?
Sorry?
Can you relate
yes,
to that?
Yes, I can relate to it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Bless you, bless you. It's difficult sometimes. I could just kind of feel that in this case, that it is difficult. And it's difficult when you feel alone, when you feel like people don't understand, when they don't support you and don't do what they said they would do. I mean, it's difficult. I know that it is. I'm not making light of that at all. I'm just saying it's sometimes when we're in that squeeze that we find out what comes out of us, like when you squeeze the toothpaste, you know, you find out what's inside. That's when we find out if we really know Jesus as our all in all. And yes, it is possible. God wouldn't call us to be satisfied in Jesus if it weren't possible. It is possible. And I used to doubt that, and I used to think, oh, you know, you can't really just be satisfied with Jesus. But I had to find out, and I did. And God will just let you be in a tight place sometimes and so that you find that. And, you know, I was one that thought marriage would fill the empty places, and then I found out marriage doesn't. There's a God-shaped void in all of us that only God can fill. I don't care how good a marriage you have. You still need God to fill it. Hallelujah. Area code 304, welcome to the program.
Thank you. This is Kathy from West Virginia.
Kathy from West Virginia. Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you thank you, first of all, for your analogy of the ball, that you don't have to catch it. You can refuse to play. And it brought in remembrance of me, or remembrance to me a while back. I was praying for a lady to be healed, and I was standing for her healing, and her daughter-in-law had wrote me a nasty little letter and really just ripped me up and said, you shouldn't be teaching her how to be having hope for healing. You should be teaching her how to endure. And I'm like, ooh, instantly my old ruffles feathered up and feathers ruffled up. Okay. And I'm like, I am going to write her back, Lord. And he goes, no, you're not.
Oh.
What do you mean, no, I'm not? And he's like, no, I will fight your battle. You be quiet. I'm like, oh, that was really hard to do. And had I known I don't have to catch it, because I struggled for quite a while, and I finally said, okay, Lord, it's yours. And I even got little little smart aleck and said, fine, I won't pray for her anymore.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, and the Lord says, you will pray for her. And I'm like, okay. Sorry, Lord. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, thank you. I appreciate what you had to say tonight, and that was a blessing. So thank you. And you can pray for me if you'd like.
Okay. I was just picturing something, Kathy, that's for all of us, not just for you. But
okay.
You know, when we're youngsters coming up, like we're in elementary or school or something, we know that in the classroom there's a big desk at the front. That's for the teacher. And all the other desks are little, that's for us students. And we're clear on that. There's the teacher, and then we're all the students. We're all the children. And I just heard the Lord saying, remind everybody that He is God. Remind everybody that actually I am God, the Lord says, that I have the big desk, and all of you are children. And do not take the false burden that the enemy would put on you when people are messing up, when they're totally off in their perceptions, when they're lying, when they're manipulating, controlling, whatever they're doing. Don't let the enemy put a false burden on you that you're the one that straightened them out. I am still at the big desk. I'm God. Don't let the enemy get you off track. Don't let him tempt you to usurp. And this is for everybody, but also, Kathy,
yes.
The Lord says, I'm so pleased when you hear me. When you hear me, because I give everybody pop quizzes, but many don't realize it's a pop quiz. They don't realize that I'm speaking. They don't even ask, you know, much less want to obey. And the Lord says, such a blessing to me. Such a blessing to me because I wanted to grow, and I am helping you grow. And you've wanted Holy Spirit to be your tutor, and I am. And you've wanted to be an expression of Jesus' heart, and you are. And the Lord says, don't be surprised when testing and trials come your way, because it's part of the training school. It's not that I've forgotten about you. It's not that I don't care. It's that I have a plan to make all my children stronger, because very shortly they're going to need those strengths. And they're going to have to deal with things that are more than just individual spouts and spats and, you know, little offenses like this. And the Lord says, in my kindness, I'm strengthening all my children.
Thank you, Lord.
Trust
Thank
me.
You, Lord.
Learn to trust me in these smaller things, and you will be ready. You'll be ready when the bigger tests and the real exams come along, and you will know how to maintain your peace, and you will know how to rest in me, and you will know how to hear my voice amidst all the other voices, and you will know how to discern what is the devil and what is this person, how to tear down the strongholds, but how to love the people. And the Lord says, I'm just giving you more and more keen discernment. I'm clearing up any perceptions that have been clouded by the efforts of the enemy in the past. He wanted to destroy your perceptions or get them off enough so that you would be tormented. But the Lord says, I'm giving you keen perceptions and keen discernment, and you're going to be able to help so many people, if you're willing, just help so many people to know how to be free of strongholds, how to be free no matter what the enemy says, and to have that peace and hope and to fight for their joy. Lord says, I'm just giving you the ability to teach others how to fight for their joy so
Thank
that they
you,
won't constantly be aggravated and irritated or kind of in the way, so to speak. But they, too, will have the joy of victory. They, too, will have the joy of freedom and the joy of knowing they're loved and that they're an expression of love to others.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And have a blessed night.
Thank you. Well, I am.
Awesome. Me too. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I am too. And like I said, it was a real blessing to get to hear you, and I praise God. So Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again.
Well, I just love hearing from the Lord, and today I just felt like that was so clearly from the Lord. He says everybody needs this one. They need to call their friends, have their friends listen, you know, without pointing big finger in their face, you know, just say, got to listen to this one. And the Lord wants to set us free from the little things, because like I said, this week I heard a message on anger, and, you know, God found a place to apply it in me. None of us are exempt. You know, we all have to deal with these things. And I just want to thank you, Lord, tonight for all our callers. If anyone else wants to receive ministry or ask a question or make a comment, please push number one now. I just thank you, Lord, that you died and shed your blood to set us free. The at-one-ment, atonement, that you want to reconcile with us. I thank you for your patience with each of us, that you gave us a long space of time to repent, months, even years, that you gave us time to repent. Amen? Amen. Okay. Area code 850, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Anne Marie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. It's a good night. I tuned in kind of late, so I didn't get to hear your message, but I will listen to it tomorrow. But I tuned in and heard you praying for some other people, and I just felt like that a lot of it was for me. And when you said if anybody else wants ministry, mm-hmm. So I've been struggling with some stuff, and I feel like I haven't been very merciful lately, and just a lot of judgment rising up, and just a lot of areas I've been struggling in, and I need some breakthroughs. So if you could pray for me, that would be absolutely wonderful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Anne Marie. Thank you for honesty to admit that it is a struggle, because it is. It is. I mean, even Jesus sweat drops of blood in the Gethsemane when he was anticipating, you know, what am I going to do? They're going to accuse me of all these things. They don't even recognize that I'm sent, that I'm the Messiah, that I'm God. And it's tough. And I thank you, Lord, though, that Anne Marie is learning through this and that she will be a woman of God, who knows who she is, just as Jesus knew who he was, that she will know who she is, and that she will not always struggle in the same way she is now, because she will know that she knows who she is. And she will be in a position to be able to be the intercessor when these type of situations come up. Won't see herself as on the bottom of the pile or the victim, hopeless or helpless, but she will know that she knows that she can be what I call the spiritual one first. Because, Lord, you've said to us, you know, ye who are spiritual, you know, go restore the other one. And sometimes, Lord, we just don't want to be that spiritual, you know. But I thank you for the work you're doing in her heart. The Lord says, I'm doing a great work in your heart. And it won't be just talk, but it'll be the walk. It won't be just saying verses, but it will be living them out. And the Lord says, as you allow me to live it through you, that when people are at their worst, and sometimes people do test a safe person, they determine that you're safe and they'll just be more testy than usual. But they will know that they have seen the real Jesus in you, Anne Marie. They will know. And the Lord says it takes time, but I'm training you. And as you focus on me, then you will have that faith, you'll have that strength, you'll have that perseverance under trials, and you will know it's more important to love that person. And yet, even through the struggle, while you're saying, but this is my flesh, Lord, it's just my flesh, that you'll know how to take your flesh to the cross and everything related to it, all judgmental attitudes, any temptations to dishonor others or to have ungodly beliefs about them, or even to make inner vows, I'm never talking to them again, or never going to be open and share again. But the Lord says, anything that's still flesh, I'll be faithful to show you, and you can bring it to me, and I'll bring it to death on the cross. And you'll be more and more and more free. More free to operate out of spirit, more able to walk, demonstrating the fruit of the spirit. And people will know that they've been in my presence. And even when you're under testing and they see the love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, and meekness, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control come out, they're going to know that the Christian life does work. It'll be more of a testimony to me than if you had said it all in words. But the Lord says, it's a blessing to me that you want to be an expression of me, and I will be faithful, faithful, faithful to finish the work that I've begun in you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. And I'd encourage you and everyone that's listening tonight, if you want to hear this message, the first part again, you can go to the archives within 30 minutes after the program, and you can hear it. You can share it with someone else. You can write out your prophecy if you received a prophetic word tonight. Note the time, if you can kind of remember what time it was, because you can go back and push that play and hold and play and hold button. I encourage you to write it all out word for word, because it's when we write it out that the Holy Spirit really comes and applies it personally to our hearts. You can hear the words, but if you're like me, when you first hear a prophecy, you don't even retain that much. I always get kind of self-conscious. I remember about two parts of it and forget the rest. But you can go back. And it's always important when the Lord honors you with a personal prophecy to write out every single word. Keep them in a notebook. The more you treasure it, the more he'll give you. But on the other hand, I always say, I don't get jealous when other people get prophetic words and I don't, because usually you get them when you're going to need them. And like if God prophesies, well, the waters are going to smooth out, you know, and it's going to be smooth sailing, then you know, well, the reason the waters are going to smooth out is because it's going to be really stormy before that. And so I just let God handle that, you know, whether I need a prophetic word or not. And every once in a while I do get one. So, Lord, I just thank you for everybody that's been listening tonight. I thank you for your will and way and timing in our lives, that you know best, that you know where we need to be strengthened, so that we'll be victorious overcomers. You know where our love and patience, where sin, and sometimes you just let aggravating people come along. Thank you, Lord, for tutoring us personally that way. Let me see if I can fit in one more person. And area code 850, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Area code 8. Yes?
Hello. I was about to call in a few minutes ago, and as I heard you call out 850, and lo and behold, that happened to be my friend, and I was just about to call you myself. I'm Dot, and I have called you a good while back, but the enemy has been attacking our family, and just any words that you have for me from the Lord, I would just be glad for you to give them.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Dot. I thank you that although everybody might experience the same thing, that she had the courage to call in. And the Lord says, Dot, you know, some people are like roses and some people are more like the thorns, but I have called you to love them and to be my love to them all. And the Lord says, I've seen how the thorns have hurt at times. And when you cry, I see it and I feel it. And your tears don't even hit the ground, I collect them. But the Lord says, on the other hand, I'm bringing healing along. I'm bringing freedom. I'm bringing strength. I'm bringing a new ability to be an expression of my love to the unlovely. And the Lord says, I don't want you to expect them to fail you again. I want you to believe the best and let me do that through you and believe for my supernatural intervention and supernatural work. And yet at the same time, keep your eyes focused on me and thank me for what I'm doing in your life, because you'll never make it through, you know, if you focus on what I'm doing in other people's lives. You believe for that, and then you let it go and let me handle it, and focus on what I'm doing in your life. And as you rise up early, as you listen to me and journal it, I'm going to be giving you more and more personal revelation, and you're going to be able to be that clay on the potter's wheel, and these experiences won't be wasted because you're going to allow me to mold you and make you. The Lord says, I'm fixing your truster and enabling you to trust me through this, and trust that I will be able to live that victorious life through you, and that you will have, always have, what you need in me. And regardless of what other people choose to do and say, that you will always be complete in me. And where the enemy would make it look like, try to make it look like he's getting the upper hand or he's in control, you will know that he never is. He never is. He's never in control. And you can just ask me, God, you can just say, Lord, show me how you're in this. Show me how you want to live through me. Show me what you're doing. And you can allow the trials and tests to work their perfect work in you, that patience and faith and endurance. Because the Lord says, I've called you to be a strong woman of God, and there's even been some cracks in your own foundation that I've been working on, but I'm tearing out the bad parts and building a bigger foundation because I've called you to be a mighty influence. And as you allow me to train you up, I'll be able to trust you with a greater and greater sphere of influence, and more people will be able to see how they can trust me to actually live the life through them, and they can trust me through things that they would say appear to be bad things. But the Lord says, my desire is to give you what I call a single eye. You won't say some things are bad, so the devil's in control, some things are good, so God's in control. You will know that I'm a good God, and I'm always working things out for your best, and I'm always in control, and you will have greater and greater insights to my sovereignty, because some of those questions really bother people, and you're going to be able to help them through when it appears that circumstances and situations could not be under my control. The Lord says you're going to be able to help them to grow in faith and in love and in strength. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's very encouraging, and I receive it as a true word from the Lord just for me, and I appreciate you taking the time to minister to others and especially to me, and God bless you as well.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hope you'll join us again sometime.
I will.
Wonderful night. Oh, it's just been so wonderful, all the new friends I've been making. You know, when you have a thirst for the Lord, when you have a thirst for the Lord, he never lets you down. Lord, no. All the things you need is fixed. Be the mighty warriors you've
called. If you're hungry, come to him. If you're thirsty, come. For Jesus said, if you thirst, he that thirsts Let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life, rivers of life. Rivers of life, rivers of life, will flow out of your belly. Come and drink. We need to be like the deer that pants for the water, that unquenchable thirst. Come unto him now. Oh, come and be filled. Oh, come and be filled. Yes, come and be filled to overflow. Wants to overflow you tonight. Saturate my heart. Let me be filled, oh Lord. I want to be filled. I don't want to leak out, Lord. Keep me full. Drown me in your river. Drown me, Lord. Keep me full. Saturate me, Lord, that I may never be the same. Wine of the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, I'm thirsty, Lord. Yes, I'm thirsty, Jesus. I hunger for your touch. I hunger for you, Lord. Oh, and I'm thirsty for more of your glory, Lord. More of your glory, oh God. I'm thirsty, Lord. Come and give me to drink. I'm thirsty, Lord. Come and give me to drink of the new wine. Of the new wine, of the new wine, of the new wine. I'm thirsty, Lord. Go, come and give me, Lord. Come and give. Yes, Lord, come and burn in my spirit. Yes, Lord, oh, come and burn. Jesus, oh,